Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen. Good afternoon, and welcome to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. I've got a treat for you today. I've got Brother Mike Reeves queued up. He's going to be preaching here in just a moment. And Brother Mike came and preached a meeting at our church not too long ago. And boy, God really blessed. God moved in that and helped us spiritually and grew the church. And I tell you, grew our hearts. And since then, Brother Mike Reeves has now taken the pastorate position at Pleasant Grove Baptist Church there in Fairview, North Carolina. And so we appreciate Brother Mike. He's going to be preaching out of Psalms 126 and also giving his personal testimony.
Psalm 126. You folks have been so sweet, so kind, so Christ-like. And Sister Lori and I travel literally all over the world. And 30 years of ministry from Southeast Asia, Eastern Europe, the former Soviet Union, the Caribbean Islands, and all across the United States and Western Canada. And you're my tribe. Boy, I see a lot of foolishness in this world. In God's name too, buddy. In God's name. The average, I'm just going to go ahead and say this, and I'm not going to apologize. Most of the religious folks in this world wouldn't know God if they met him in the middle of the road. And to get around somewhere where somebody knows what it is to come in contact with the blessed Holy Ghost of God, what a privilege, what an honor, what an honor. Hey, there's folks all over this country tonight that are going to say they've met with God, and they're clueless. No, they ain't. No, they ain't. And I'm honored to be here. I'm so thankful. Psalm 126, verse 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Here's my text, verse number 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It's a promise, children. It's a promise from God's word, and he won't go back on his promise. And if we're not seeing the fruit of this, we're missing something back down the line. I know that there are some, maybe even Charles Haddon Spurgeon said that we should not use, and some don't believe we should use any personal references, and I believe correctly quoted Spurgeon said that we should only use personal references when that clearly illustrates the truth of God's word. There was a time when the children of Israel were crossing over into Canaan's land. As they came across Jordan, the Lord instructed Joshua to have those children to take one man for each tribe and take a stone and carry that stone across that river and to set those stones up as a memorial. And basically, and I'll paraphrase what I can here, the scripture said that the Lord told Joshua, in days to come, when your children look and ask, what meaneth these stones? That you can point to those stones and say, these great things that the Lord hath done. I want to just stack up some rocks for you tonight and give you a little bit of insight into what God can do for you, what he did for me. I was raised in a Baptist preacher's home. I was rough. I had a lot of problems. I'm almost totally blind. If you don't know that by now, you'll figure it out pretty soon. I have very little eyesight. And I found my niche in the world. I made a profession when I was a 12-year-old boy in a Baptist church. My daddy was a Baptist preacher, and I knelt on this side of the altar. I had been under conviction. I believe the seed of the word was hidden in my heart, but it was nothing more than an emotional religious experience. It was not the new birth. I did not understand faith, and I did not understand repentance, and God was not calling me. It was just cannon fodder. It was just a big emotional experience. And when I came to that altar, I kind of got the monkey off my back. Well, I was dumb enough just to think I was saved. I didn't know. You know, I was just ignorant. I was dumb as a stump. I didn't know nothing. Well, I wasn't saved. I wasn't a bit more born again than I was the man on the moon. And I went out to live my life. And I, through the course of time, became a professional musician. And the Lord was working in my heart, bringing me to a place He wanted me to be. He was working faith and repentance in my heart. And I did not even understand what was going on. I'm sure glad God's salvation's not intellectual. I'm sure glad it's not based on education, but it's based on revelation. And as a young man, I really thought I was, brother, I was so proud I could strut sitting down. I thought I was somebody going somewhere doing something. 19, 20, 21 years old, it wasn't unusual for me to get on an airplane, fly to New York City, fly to Montreal, party, spent time with my buddies in Nashville, made music all over the world. And there came a time as I was 24 years old, about to turn 25 years old. My wife and I just bought a horse farm. I had a Corvette car. I had a lot of things going for me, and I was standing doing a front job for Charlie Daniels in an outdoor stadium. And in that outdoor stadium that night, there were literally thousands of people in that audience that night. There were people I didn't know that were screaming my name. And somehow or another, if you can figure this out, you're smarter than I am. But God, the sweet Holy Ghost, came down on that stage that night, and I felt like I was somewhere on the moon, a million miles from everywhere. And it was as if God spoke to my heart and said, "Okay, big shot, if you're so cool, why do you feel so empty on the inside?" But I thought I'd die. I thought I was going to die. In the next few days, in the next few weeks, that I didn't have this thing figured out, I wasn't smart enough to know what God was doing. God was working repentance in my heart. God was doing a work of salvation in me. I didn't understand this. I was a goofy Baptist. I thought I was already saved. Finally, God brought me to that night. On a Saturday night, we played in a large, big nightclub, and we were the house band, and on Saturday night, I took all I could take. There's a bunch of folks on the dance floor and drunks all around, and God, the Holy Ghost jumping down in my soul and trying to get me to see Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And finally, when it was over that Saturday night, I looked at the band leader and said, "I quit. I'm going home and I won't be back." He thought I lost my mind. He thought I wanted more money, preacher. I had enough money in my pocket to burn a wet mule. Money would not fix what was wrong with me. Money could not help what was wrong with me. I was lost and unregenerate without God, alienated from Christ, and I needed help. I went to a little single wide trailer on the Fair Plains Road in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina at 3 o'clock in the morning, sitting on the couch, the blessed Holy Ghost of God working in my soul. As far as I know, the only prayer I even prayed was, "God, forgive me." I got news for you. Prayer ain't what saves you. No way. It's faith and repentance. God working in my heart. It wasn't my prayer that saved me that night. God came down to that little single wide trailer on a raggedy couch, and that night let me see all of what I'd been in church all my life had never shown me by revelation. I saw the sweet Lord Jesus, and I needed help. Hey, listen, I didn't have somebody to pray with me. I didn't have somebody to read me some verses out of Romans. God, the Holy Ghost, is big enough to accomplish the work that needed to be done right then, right there. That night, God birthed me into the family of God. He changed my world. I got up the next day and grass was greener and the sky was bluer. And I was happy and didn't even know why I was happy. Why was I happy? The burden of sin had been lifted off of me. The condemnation was gone. And I was a born again, brand new child of God. Over the course of the next year, God began to work in my heart and in me in so many different ways. And God, over the course of about a year, God called me to preach the gospel. That was about 1990, 1991, fixing a turn, and by about 1993, we experienced the Wilkesboro Revival. God did something in my wife and in me that we've never gotten over. God ruined us in a good kind of way. I saw revival. I never seen anything like it. Weeks of meeting, hundreds of souls saved. Saw God move in mighty ways. July the 15th, 1994, I walked away from a public job. I was an engineering technician for the North Carolina State Highway Department, built roads and bridges and that kind of thing. I walked away from public work. The greatest thing in my heart, the greatest ambition I had was to try my best to tell people what God done for me. I was convinced there was a whole lot more folks in this world in the same shape I was in. Religious, but they didn't have a relationship. God began to work on us, and God literally opened up doors all over the world, literally. And my wife and I wound up in Wyoming. We spent 7 years in Wyoming and in Montana, living all of that time out there in a fifth-wheel camper trailer, some of the happiest days of my life. And I've lived in fine homes since then, but I want to thank God. Some of the happiest, glorious days of my life was spent in a little old camper trailer out there just serving God, doing what I knew to do, preaching the gospel to folks. And there came a day. Now, I ain't forgot the scripture. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God did something in my heart, brother, before I went to Wyoming. God got in my heart and helped me see and understand that I did not get saved when I was a 12-year-old boy, that I really got born again when I was 25. You see, God started using 2 Corinthians 5:17 in my heart. And I was even already preaching, brother, and I just didn't have this thing settled, and I was struggling like you were talking about a while. The devil had an open door just to beat the daylights out of me over this. And I was out in Kansas preaching, and I got to struggling with this, and I got to thinking about 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I got to wrestling with the Lord. Lord, and here's some good advice. If you don't know when and where God saved you or if God saved you, if you can't pin that down, I know who knows. I know who knows. And it ain't the preacher. And I began to ask the Holy Ghost of God that I knew I had fellowship with, will you show me when and where you saved me, Lord? Show me. And it was like God just turned a light bulb on and said, well, when did you change? Well, that wasn't complicated at all. That was not complicated in the least. There's no doubt when I changed. As a 25-year-old young man on that couch in that single-wide trailer in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, is where God birthed me. My world changed that night. And that's what I was trying to tell people about what God did to change me.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at hooperscreekbaptist.com or download our church app where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.